Community Coming, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
We're back. Hour two at the races. Brian Lynch and Brad Cox getting us rolling into the day. And we'll spend this hour talking pedigrees and breeding, including regional conversation with Larey Visagie from Rock Ridge in the next half hour after Sid joins us. Sid, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Good. I don't know if you had heard my lead in, but Larey is going to join us. Yeah, from Rock Ridge, disco partner and micromanage and frank conversation and the Japanese Asian forward runner. He's got a nice eclectic group of stallions.
I'm gonna take a look at his stallions because in fact we're doing a breeding. A broodmare compatibility analysis today for a guy in New York. So I've got to go through all these. So I'm glad you're having them, and I'll be able to take a look at a stallion roster as well.
It's interesting, and Larey probably will touch on this with us, but you can riff as well. Because you and I talk regional programs often, and for the most part, these are matings that are done with breeding to race in mind,
right?
I mean, there are some. There's occasions where a regional stallion is on the upswing, and some people might latch on and end up with what they then turn into a sales prospect, because happenstance occurs that makes the foal more valuable even than they expected.
Yeah, that's true. The only thing with New York is that, Basic Tipton has that New York showcase sale for New York breeds. So, and a lot of those New York breeds obviously are by Kentucky Stallions, but some people will, use local stallions, and occasionally if they have the right mare and, sorry about all these you knows, but they can hit, and they are in demand because of the lucrative state bred program here.
Well, exactly. There's also occasions and when you look at this roster, for instance, a horse like Disco Partner, here was Disco Rico, who, I was just a huge fan of. And we tragically, we had a beautiful colt that got rotococcus and succumbed. But I was so eager to get a Disco Rico because it just seemed like all he was throwing was runners. And it's amazing that, there's opportunity now for a horse like a Disco Partner. I actually talked to Roddy Valenti yesterday. He's got Bustin' Stones, who has that Disco Rico feel to him. But I mean, Disco Partner really put together a resume that's stallion worthy, and then some.
Yeah, and he's a multiple graded stakes winner. He earned almost $1.5 million. And the thing about him is that he was such a good sprinter. I mean, he won. I think he won up to a mile, but 5-6 furlongs. He was actually third in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint.
Sure,
Stormy Liberal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Defeating some very good horses, including Marsha. So this horse is, that speed is so good for a regional breeding program. And this horse was, you know, among the top turf sprinters. And he, like you mentioned, he's got that hard-hitting profile to him. He's a gray horse, white horse, and, you know, that had some appeal to him as well. And he was just one of those, you know, hard-hitting horses. You know, talk about soundness. He made 33 starts. And it's a really good branch, not a common branch, of Northern Dancer to a Dixieland band. The big line there was, you know, Dixie Union and now Union Rags. But other than that, it's not that commonplace. And this one goes Dixieland band. City Dancer was a really fast horse. The Disco Rico, who you referenced, and now the Disco Partner. So, yes, it's stallions like this that really fuel state-bred programs, and you never know, Steve, what might happen. You know, in New York last year, Laoban was sent to,
right,
and he had a tremendous start, and he's gone to Windstar. But, you know, New York had kind of a record like that, you know, Belonged to Me before that, went to Lane's End. City Zip went to Lane's End. So you have the opportunity to catch one of these young stallions early, and they don't have to go to Kentucky. You know, you can have you know, Freud, for example, the Elder Statesman in New York. I mean, he's a terrific stallion. I mentioned him in a group of older stallions that are the column on for TDN. And you know, if you look at his statistics, they're incredible. And then you take him into account the New York program, and those are the type of horses that can make owner breeders money to keep going.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, it came up that reference. In fact, when we talked, was it last? I'm losing track. Was it? I can't remember if it was last week or maybe the week before. And we had the mailbox money reference. It came up with Jerry Robb about, you know, because Jerry was talking about his filly that, you know, has been so successful, and he's got no interest in running her in graded company because, A, he doesn't want to run her without Lasix. And, mm-hmm. You know, he can keep her, you know, he essentially can keep her, you know, running against her own kind. And, you know, not only does he win prize money, but he's got back end money on the breeding programs and the certification programs.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot going on this front. I do want to mention, because I know it's a name that you appreciate. I'm, you know, looking at Disco Partner. And the dam, Lulu's Number, Generazio, and it's got tons of Generazio breeding in it, including Concord's Tune, who got the second dam, Mary uh-huh. Lou's Magic. But the presence of Numerous is kind of fun in here. Howard Keck, of course, who campaigned Ferdinand, and you know, a name that you know probably not everybody's familiar with, but Numerous's presence in here. There's a lot of stout names on this pedigree.
Yeah, Numerous, of course, is out of Number by Nijinsky, so that brings in that stout part you pointed out. It also brings in the turf element to it. You know, Numerous is, his second dam is Special. Third dam is Thong. So essentially what you're talking about here is the family of Nureyev and Sadler's Wells. So, you know, this is just one of the great families, and it's a family that made its name on turf, really. So when you look at Disco Partners' race record, you can really appreciate how he took to turf with that numerous stuff. But the speed element of it, Steve, if you look at his pedigree, you know, horses like Conquer Bound, Generazio. Now, Conquer Bound is in the fourth generation of this horse. Believe it or not, I used to watch Conquer Bound race at Suffolk Downs. Ron Dandy trained for the Generazios when they raced back then as Willow and Stable. And Conquer Bound then had Concord's Tomb, the sire of the second dam. And you see a lot of Florida stuff in there. So you've got speed mixed in with that stamina that you rightfully mentioned. Because the third dam is by Silver Buck, by Buck Pastor. The fourth dam is by Secretariat. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there is a lot of stamina in there as well. Obviously, this horse was a sprint specialist and a turf sprint specialist, and there's a lot of opportunity for that, particularly in New York.
You know, I just looked at Morning Snack. You mentioned the Secretariat mare. That's an early product of Barry Schwartz, Morning Snack, out of Cream in My Coffee, who was a daughter of Tompion. But the name that also I jumps off the page, the third dam of that Morning Snack was Raise You. That's the dam of Raise a Native.
Yeah. Wow. That's some good stuff going back there. And, of course, you know, that again is speed, isn't it?
This is a nice female. This is really a nice female family that keeps getting reinforced and kind of, you know, reinvigorated. Yeah. And you know, and with Disco Rico, I'm anxious to talk to Larray and get his thoughts on Disco Partner and how he's been received. I don't have coverage counts from, you know, from last year, but you know, certainly anybody that, you know, appreciates what the Generazios, and in fact, I should mention the Generazios are being honored by the New York Thoroughbred Breeders. You know, the awards are coming up. In fact, I participated in the voting on the New York Bred Awards, but just yesterday, the Breeders announced who else? The Generazios are being honored, and I'll slip that in when I get a chance. Well, you know, there's also some. And I suppose this is a format or a template, Sid, that, you know, regional, sizable regional programs, regional farms like to do. And that is essentially have a roster of sons of, you know, the leading sires. And so having Frank Conversation by Quality Road in here, and they've got Micromanage by Medaglia D'Oro, and Leo Frick, who, you know, probably deserves some attention. The Candy Ride son that, you know, had a very nice career. Giant Surprise has been, you know, kind of a year-in, year-out producer in New York. You see, you know, lots of just, you know, just kind of meat and potato, you know, winners, and that's useful. Giant's Cause.
Yeah, Leo Frick is a really interesting horse because he earned almost $1 million, and he's one of those rare horses that, you know, won more than batting more than 500. I mean, he won 8 out of 14 starts. I mean, he was a very good racehorse, and don't forget, he won the Grade 1 Clark. You've got a Grade 1 winner by Candy Ride out of a Unbridled Song mare. I mean, you should. I'd be interested to see how this horse is received because, I mean, he's got to be considered. You know, he's got the type of pedigree and race record, Steve, that if anything happens, he's a candidate to be sent to Kentucky.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Candy Ride out of an Unbridled Song, Mare, the second dance by Stormbird, the third dam, Chosen Lady, is by Secretariat. You know, this is an old Peter Blum family. Peter Blum, of course, the breeder of Authentic. And it's a type of race, you know, he had the type of career that, if you, I mean, it's no surprise, you look through his race record, he was unraced at 2. He only made 3 starts at 3. But at 4 and 5, just at 4 and 5, he won 8 of his 11 starts, including a grade 1 race. So, you know, something happened with this horse to keep him, maybe some soundness issues early on, but he certainly came around. And, you know, he was I just saw this here. He was also 650,000 Keeneland September yearling purchased by Judmont. So this horse, you know, he's not only got the race record and the pedigree, but he's also, you know, he was sold well. Oh, he's a 330,000 Keeneland September yearling and a half brother to a 650. Sorry, but still 330,000 Keeneland September yearling. I mean, that's a pretty good auction price. So, you know, he was always a well thought of horse.
I'm looking forward to asking because he hasn't gotten Larea, because he hasn't gotten a lot of notoriety. I do note you mentioned you know, the tail female line. Well, we can pull a line from Guys and Dolls, because his great 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 grandfather was Equipoise, and in fact, I'm just noticing down here, Ewall, the sixth or seventh dam, that's the dam of Assault.
Yeah, that's an old King Ranch family.
Yep.
Peter Blum has his entire family still, you know, a lot of it.
How about that?
And, yeah. You know, the horse under the fourth dam Academy Award was the Secretariat horse that
sure.
Peter Blum actually raced, and then he went to stud at Craven Farm.
Leah Frick, 4x4 with Fappiano in the same
position.
I wonder who
bred this horse. Let me just check.
Leah Frick was Peter Blum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So he still has the family, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Steve Landers. In fact, we talked to Brad Cox earlier, and we talked about Leah Frick a lot during his career. And this may have opened some people's eyes, actually, about Leah Frick's presence in New York. We'll talk to Larea. We got a half an hour conversation coming up with Larea Visage from Rock Ridge in New York. While Sid's with us, let me also, Sid, I don't know how much more we can, you know, how much more, you know, how much more gilding we can do of Tappet, but you know, certainly with greatest honor and essential quality, taking successful next steps on Saturday, you know, it's part of the Triple Crown run up that is going to get a lot of attention.
It is, and if you recall a few weeks ago when we were talking about greatest honor, you know, I said to you back then, let me just call it that he's the Belmont Stakes winner, you know, back then, you know, I mean, that's the way he ran and won that race. I mean, obviously the longer they go, the better it is for him. And, he was extremely impressive, I thought, as was Essential Quality, but he was already a champion. And both these horses, you know, because the sire is Tappet, you've got some really good mares behind these two. Greatest honor, just to repeat myself from a few weeks ago when we were talking, I said he's got the best female family of any classic contender. You know, he's an absolute stallion in the making. And, you know, he's got two broodmares of the year in his first four. It's just such an outstanding family. He's one of these horses that, this is the Cortland horse, isn't he? Cortland
yes.
Farm?
Greatest. Yes.
Yeah. So Don Adam apparently had, you know, I read a great article in the TDN by Chris McGrath talking about the family and Don Adams and Ernie Redamozo, the farm manager. But anyway, Cortland's in Ocala, it's a farm there. And they really, from what I understood, because Mr. Adam is getting up there in age, they've kind of phased out the home breeding program, and they're more, since, certainly in the last 5 years, 6 years, they've been buying more yearlings, quite a few, for quite, you know, good money. But this mare, they purchased this mare because apparently Mr. Adam wanted to breed this mare to Tappet. They'd gotten a foal, the first foal, he was apparently a gorgeous foal, was at Lane's End where he keeps him in Kentucky. That foal died. And therefore, they scrapped plans to sell that mare until Mr. Adam bred the mare back to Tappet and got this colt. So, you know, this was apparently the owner's move to do this. And he's certainly come up. And, you know, things, it's so weird how things happen. But, of course, you know, everybody knows Mark Hennig had been training for Cortland. And then last May, I think it was, big announcement that, you know, they were moving the horses from Mark Hennig, who had done well for them. But they were looking for, you know, a change, essentially. And, of course, what happens, they give, apparently they had Shug McGahey come over. He looked at him, and he apparently has 10 Cortland horses now. So it's a great combination that Shug McGahey is training the horse the way he is. And this horse's pedigree is so massive. And then when you take into account that over the last 20 years, only one stallion has had three classic winners. Several have had two, but only one has had three. And that stallion is Tappet. And his classics have come in the Belmont Stakes.
Well, it's exciting. I asked you yesterday, in fact, how the Adams are dealing with it, because it's, you know, it's something with all the success that that he's had over the years. This is. It's sort of like Gary West and Gary and Mary West, and you think about Satish and his goal to win a Derby and had success, had tons of success in things like the Breeders' Cup and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But you know, the classic success for everybody is really a focus and a goal that no matter how many other stakes you're winning, they're all nice. And but as everybody will tell you, whenever you get introduced and people learn that you're in racing, they say, "Oh, have you won the Kentucky Derby, or have you ever had a horse in the Derby?" That's the one question. So it would be unbelievable for Don Adam to. He kind of fits, you know, you think, you know, there's a lot of people in this realm that, and obviously Godolphin is in a similar vein, but there's a number of, you know, storylines of veteran owner breeders and, you know, getting to and winning a Derby fairly late in their life cycle or in their, you know, cycle of involvement in the game. You know, Mellon, you know, certainly a C hero. And
Genter.
Mrs. Genter. Yep, absolutely. Yep, yep. Yeah, that's right. That's of course. And even, I don't know how old... how old was Mr. Partee when they won with Little
League
team?
Yeah, sure. That had to be, you know,
Cal Partee.
That'd be Cal Partee. Sure. You know, the Derby only comes around once a year. You know, so you keep trying to win it, and before you know it, if you're fortunate enough to stay in the game for that long, it comes to you. I mean, you may have an opportunity, but you might have spent years trying to do it. Now, you know, guys like, to be honest, the old owner breeders, Phipps's, Genters, Paul Mellon, these guys, they've won them. But their profile back then was that they never actually would go to the Derby unless they felt like they had a horse. To them, you know, they were from a different generation, and you know, they were home breeders, and it wasn't that much of a focus for them. In fact, they'd be embarrassed to go with a horse unless they thought, you know, he belonged there. As the game has shifted and the classics have become elevated as newer people have gotten into it, and for the reason you just said, you know, it's a major trophy for them. In an era of, you know, collecting trophies, whether it's your trophy wife or your trophy boat or your trophy husband or your trophy Kentucky Derby, you know. And so what you've had is a shift taking place socially and culturally that's elevated the Derby way more than it used to be. Now, it was always obviously a big thing, but now with the newer people playing the game, that's what it's become. Nothing good, nor I'm not saying anything bad about it. Just a comment, you know, socially and culturally. Only because I have actually lived through that period, and so have you. We've seen, you know, we've seen how mores change and values change.
Well, the I even though he's won classic races, John Ed Anthony fits that bill too. He's got he's got Caddo River. We just talked about with Brad in the last hour. There's another one. There's another candidate.
Yeah, and of course he won several. I mean, he won Temperance Hill, that Preakness winner by Danzig, his name escapes me. You know who I'm talking about?
Pine Bluff.
Who?
Pine Bluff?
Pine Bluff, exactly. Yeah. Pine Bluff, Temperance Hill. There's two right there for him. Mm-hmm. Did Little Missouri win one too? I can't remember.
Not a classic,
right? Yeah. God, yeah, he's got such great names. Cox's Ridge. Yeah. I mean,
yep.
What a great naming program he's got. He can always tell the temp.
Well, and he's circling back. I mean, after an absence,
that's right.
It very similar in a lot of ways. In fact, that would be a great there's an article or a column for you, Sid. Circling back, Peter Brandt and John Ed Anthony coming back to the game.
That's a great analogy right there. You know, John Ed Anthony was Lob Lolly early, and now he's Short Leaf Stables.
Exactly.
And you know, Peter Brandt was Peter Brandt, and now he uses White Birch a lot.
Interjection. Since Peter Brandt's name came up, it makes me think about something that I wanted to at least mention today. The C.V. Whitney Cup. for you polo fans. Kicked off, I think, at 10 o'clock this morning. And, the you know, after last year's interruption to the polo season, for those of you that take an interest in the Chuckers, you've got the lead up here over the next month, leading to March through the next several days, right? I think we've got the finals this weekend. So the C.B. Whitney Cup for polo fans.
There you go. And I'm sure White Birch has got a team in there.
Up and Harry, by the way, speaking of Shortleaf and John Ed, Prairie Bayou.
Prairie Bayou, of course.
Prairie Bayou. Yeah. So that's who we're after. There we go. Sid, I'm gonna pull up because I've got to get Larray in here.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
This was fun, and I'm sure he appreciates the time you spent on Disco Partner and a little Leah Frick, and we'll do more with him next. But I. We're going to have plenty next week. We'll see if there's some new faces and some new names with the Gotham and, of course, the San Felipe this weekend. And, you know, they've got a important sequence of Tampa Bay Derby. We've got plenty to entertain us here this weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk again next week. Thanks again, Steve.
Not at all. Sid Fernando, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And you heard Sid mention doing some compatibility analysis. There's plenty of time. Things have just started, and there's plenty of you that are waiting for your mare to fall out and see what you got from your cover last year. So as that happens, and you want to, you know, make your adjustments and make decisions and evaluate some of the new sires, and if that's the direction you want to go, the broodmare compatibility analysis at Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111, 510-490-1111. It's fabulous. I've got, Sid's done it for us the last couple of years for Voltarine, and now this year for, we're going to cover Carlisle Bell. And it's so comprehensive, and it's not just, you know, numbers and stats and stake winning, you know, combinations. It's personal inflection and Sid's and Roger's life of analysis and knowledge in terms of size of the stallion and how they fit physically, and there's more than just the raw kinds of statistical evaluation. You get the expertise of Sid and Roger. Sid, we'll talk next week. You also get the expertise when you go to a place like Rock Ridge Stud, and it's a real pleasure for me because we're working together. We've got Voltarine and Foal to Motown, and she's due in the next few weeks. Larray Visagi joins us from Rock Ridge. Larray, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing?
Terrific. We already, to some degree, with Sid in the last half hour, we did some introduction to the stallion roster. In fact, we talked about Disco Rico and Leah Frick, which are two that Sid really feels are attractive prospects for anybody considering, you know, the regional program. Before we talk about the stallions, I want to talk about you and your, you know, your life experience and how you came to, you know, to establish Rock Ridge and your involvement in the industry.
Yes, been here probably about 26 years, originally from South Africa. Came into Kentucky, where pretty much everybody comes into, and then you get your foundation laid there with some of the major farms. I was involved with Taylor Made in the beginning, and then later with Lane's End, and then I ended up moving to New York, and I've kind of stuck right here for the last probably 20 years. And then working for various different outfits, and then when the time was right, thanks to, at the time I was working for Vinery, and saw the opportunity to start Rock Ridge, and took that leap and never looked back. And so far, the New York program has been had its ups and downs, but still the best program in the country.
What was Rock Ridge prior to your I know you started about almost 10 years ago at Rock Ridge.
It was a winery, Stallions, and they had two operations, one where I am and one near Sugar Maple is.
Okay.
And then they ended up not continuing.
Right.
And that's when we started Rock Ridge.
How about that? I remember when that, yeah, when that decision, but it's hard to believe that that's almost 10 years ago.
Almost 2013, yes.
How about that? Well, you've very, you know, very quickly, you know, you've Rock Ridge established itself, and the Stallion rostering, talk about the decision-making process, and you know, there does seem to be some, you know, fluid scenarios to, you know, to the regional programs. You know, talk about how you approach it.
You know, you have to do it like these regional programs. You do have to have Stallions. It establishes you as a farm, as an entity, and it actually brings value to your client base to have regional Stallions. Obviously, you're not going to compete on the level that Kentucky is, but you're still going to have the same bloodlines, maybe at a different level that's going to be in New York. You know, if you take, for instance, a Leo Frick, or, you know, that's a Candy Ride, or a Micromanage with a Medaglia d'Oro, you know, Frank Conversation, a Quality Rose. So those sire lines, you know, you can get them in Kentucky, but the regional markets, those horses fit very well up here, you know, and with the program that New York offers, the financial incentives, you know, it is beneficial to breed to those horses in state. There is some beneficial ways of breeding to out-of-state sires. It depends what your program is and what you intend to do with the offspring, and that changes some of the dynamics. Obviously, there's a lot of people that come to New York to drop their, you know, Tappets, Candy Rides, Medaglia d'Oros in New York, and they have a different breeding program than I would say the people that is in New York. And, you know, for the Stallions, you know, if you have them on the farm, there's a lot of people that see the value in the New York program with their incentive program, with the Breeders' Awards, Stallion Awards. You know, there's major players that breed in Kentucky and in New York that see that and take that opportunity to kind of get a foothold in New York. And that's kind of how the regional market survives and compete. You know, we're all in a contracting phase, I think, right now, the whole thoroughbred industry, but that's a good thing. You know, it kind of makes the pool a little stronger and gets the right horses at the races, you know, instead of having, you know, excess of horses that don't need to be bred. And I hate to say that, but, you know, you want to breed the best thoroughbred that you can for all the different tracks, regardless if it's a regional or Kentucky, or you want to breed the best physical you can.
How difficult is it in and you referenced, you know, the competitive landscape when it comes to the sales options? I mean, certainly Phasig has got the New York bred showcase sale, you know, the week after, you know, the open yearling sale in August. But, you know, I think more of the, you know, the Timonium opportunities and OBS as well for, you know, for the New York breds, you know, that are bred along the regional lines. I mean, as opposed to the way people reference New York breds, quote unquote, in name only, you know, that have gone to showcase Stallions for coverage in Kentucky. I mean, I made the suggestion, Larray, with Sid earlier that, you know, this kind of a lineup is really for, honestly, like an operation like I've got with DT. I mean, we're just breeding to, you know, to have our own horses. So it's much more of a breed to race approach as opposed to, you know, breeding to sell, because there just doesn't seem to have the regional Stallions don't seem to fetch the, you know, the kind of money to make it viable to breed to sell.
Yeah, and that's a big, I want to say a challenge, but you have to understand, you know, when you go to sell at any of these sales, whether it's Phasic Tipton in August, which is a premier sale across the country, or let's sale for weanlings, it depends what program you want to follow, but if you can get in into the Phasic Tipton August sale, that is the top of the top. And if you have a New York bred by a New York sire that fits that description and fits the model of commercial value, you know, because the stallion market fluctuates just like the stock market. You know, one year the one stallion does well until, and in the stallion market, it's always what have you done for me lately? They have to continue to produce. Or if it's a freshman sire, people will get those horses in, but they still have to look the part and have the pedigree to fit into the sales. Every year, the averages get stronger and stronger. But I think that's a good thing because you do want to compete at that top level. Now, not everybody's budget can fit that sale, but everybody wants to get in. And that's the challenge what everybody has. And then the regional market, they can only take a few New York breads. Because it's still a financially driven enterprise that they're trying to do. You know, it's not, they don't want to get every horse in there. So you have to place the get in there. There's only a number of horses that can get in. Even if you have the best physical and pedigree, not everybody's going to get in. And then you get kind of shut out and you have to move to a different sale, you know, Kentucky. And that's the part where we have the sale in our own backyard, but you do have to basically go to a different market sometimes if your horse is not ready, not mature enough. And that's it. You have to have an eye and you have to have a good team of people to help you evaluate that because you're not the only one. Although it's a New York bred sale, there's people from Kentucky all over. I mean, just our clientele is as far as Arizona, California. So those people will try and get in, but they're knowledgeable enough to that if you don't make it, then you have to place your horse in a sale where you can get the best value out of your horse at that time because the sales are at different times of the year.
Well, and speaking of the team that is involved, we do have Aaron Robinson with us as well. I want to introduce Aaron, who's the stallion manager. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Aaron, another export from Kentucky and came to New York after, you know, UK and plenty of experience around the industry growing up in Versailles. And how long in New York now? You've been a while, I think.
Well, I'm still based in Kentucky, so I live in Kentucky.
Okay.
I've been involved in the New York market pretty much since the moment I started in the industry, which was 20 years ago. So I started out with John Stewart in Nicholasville, and he was very, very involved in the New York market and
interesting.
Did American Chance up there, and we had a lot of involvement with different clients in New York as well. So I've been at least a toe dipped in New York since the moment I started working in the industry.
That's funny.
So, yeah.
To talk about the, you know, the stallions and, you know, the way in which you've approached this, and I'll kind of ping pong back and forth. I mean, Larray, talk about the lineup and the reception and, you know, what kind of mare coverage is important to, you know, to basically maintain the roster. I mean, this is an attractive set of stallions to choose from. You know, talk about the reception, you know, last year and now the second year for Disco and for Leofric.
Leofric. So every year, if you bring a new horse into the state or any market, people always will flock to those horses because they want to see what the offspring is. You know, so those horses get a lot of support. But any of the stallions that we have, you know, they're all different levels, you know, micromanaged kind of surprise, just microly. And then Edition Farm with a Shin Ford. Frank is a syndicate with actually Joe McMahon and Mill Creek that's in on Frank. And Disco Partner, obviously, the late Frank and Pat Genrazio, you know, they are heavy supporters in New York. And, you know, so there was all these horses have different support systems. Leofric came in with a heavy, that he's fully syndicated, and we have an international group that's involved in there. People from Kentucky have a share. So this horse, we're at 19 mares last year. He's probably going to breed every bit of that this year, maybe more. You know, the babies that we've had, that we just actually checked this morning, just on the farm, I'm going to have about 25 Leofric, of which I've had 11, and phenomenal confirmation so far. We've had 3 fillies and 9 colts. So, you know, all these horses have their fit in the regional market, and they play a big role in New York because they are commercial by commercial sires that will end up being, you know, I would say in 3 years, the leading crop of foals that will be running because there's not going to be that many. And if you continue to breed the numbers that we do, they have to be well, you know, out there on all the New York
tracks. Right.
And that's where Erin comes in. You know, she's very much in, like involved in New York with all the clients, anything that is booked, or, you know, she's actually normally comes to New York and visits all the farms and then evaluate what we have to do for all the different clients. It's phenomenal, the system that we have.
And Erin, let me bring you in on this and talk a little bit about, you know, client development and matching this kind of a stallion set to, you know, the needs of both, you know, really anybody, I suppose, regionally, because, you know, there's plenty of other, you know, in the marketplace. I'm sure there's, you know, there's people that have got, you know, mares, you know, we see New York stallions show up on other regional breds. I mean, we'll see Pennsylvania breds and Maryland breds and Virginia breds, you know, that right. have had stallions. But talk about how you know, what you recommend and the kinds of what I'm kind of reaching for is the mares and the families in the region that are likely, you know, that are likely to be in people's breeding programs and how they match up. I mean, because I'm sure that's got to be part of Larrey's decision-making process about bringing stallions in that are going to fit the population of mares that are known to be in the marketplace.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of criteria and things to think about with these people when I'm talking to clients and trying to help them make decisions on who to breed to. And a lot of it goes back to also how we make decisions on which horses we want to stand at Rock Ridge. You know, of course, we look for commercial value as well as racing talent. And we have a pretty diverse roster, as you've mentioned. You know, we have turf horses, we have dirt horses, we have every level of winning in that roster. And, you know, a Shin Forward being the third all-time winningest New York bred ever. So we have every level of what you're looking for on the roster. And, you know, the first question I usually ask people is, are you a breed to race or are you a breed to sell? And that's the first question that needs to be answered for most people. You know, are we looking for commercially valuable option for you, or are we looking for something that you know you're going to get a racehorse by? You know, so we have an option for pretty much anybody who is looking for either of those, either a racehorse or a possible sales horse. And, you know, a lot of our stallions would certainly fit the bill for both. But we, you know, it's an important question to ask them, you know, what's your end game? What are you going to do with this foal once you get it? And then once we answer that question, then I get more into the pedigree, you know, which one. Do you have a turf mare? Are you looking for a turf stallion? Do you have a dirt mare? Are you looking for a dirt stallion? And then we get more into, you know, which sire lines match with your mare sire line. What has she produced already and what's worked with her particularly? What does she look like? Which is an important question that, you know, a lot of times I think when you're at a desk and talking to someone on the phone, sometimes you don't get into that physical so much. But to me, that's a very important aspect of doing a mating is, you know, what does your mare look like and does she match the stallion well? So there's a lot of different things that we talk about on the phone. And, you know, sometimes, honestly, you know, New York is a very small community and we all work together. And, you know, we're all kind of in this industry together and trying to make New York profitable as a whole. So sometimes I point people to a stallion that's not on our roster. You know, I have done that in the past. If it's something that would work better for them instead of another farm, I'll point them in that direction.
Well, that's the philosophy behind Miracle on 34th Street. Send them to Gimbel's if we don't have it at Macy's.
What? I never thought of it that way before, but you're absolutely right.
How difficult is it to explain a stallion like a Shin Forward to, and even maybe Slumber, to prospective mare owners, you know, that have, you know, that were successful, but a little bit more, you know, obfuscated with international records.
Right. It is, that is a challenge, particularly with the Shin Forward, because even though he did stand several years in Japan, he did not breed a large number of mares and didn't really get the opportunity to show probably what he's capable of. So we're excited to see his first two-year-old pit that were bred in New York and see, you know, exactly what he can do. And especially with there being increased turf racing in the States, you know, and a Shin Forward raced on no medication, which is very important to us and to the owner. And, you know, he was top form his entire career on no meds, which is pretty incredible. So, you know, it's a challenge to explain to people, look, yes, he did stand in Japan for a while and he has several crops there, but he didn't breed a lot of mares. And same with Slumber. You know, he started at Calumet and he was basically just, you know, he was stood there for the owner and they didn't really advertise the horse. They didn't really seek outside mares. They probably could have gotten them if they had, you know, if they had advertised him a bit more and people really knew about him. He was a talented racehorse on two continents and, you know, did very well. And obviously with only having six runners in his first two-year-old crop and already having a graded stakes winner, he's a horse that you really can't ignore. The problem with both of them is that they don't have anything coming up in the pipeline. You know, Slumber has very small numbers bred, and a Shin Forward, you know, is just now getting his toe in the New York market, so we really don't know how those are going to fare here yet, and we're anxiously waiting to see how they do. So it is difficult, and again, you know, for horses like that, you wouldn't necessarily think they are your commercial option, but for people who are breeding to race, absolutely, you would use them all day.
Talk just a little bit more about a Shin Forward, because you know, this is the Novak's Forest Wildcat, and out of a Cure the Blues mare, this is kind of an old school pedigree, and you know, there's probably a wide cross section of opportunity here for, you know, if people recognize the value, and you know, certainly from a price standpoint, he's a bargain.
He is, absolutely. You're not going to find a lot of Forest Wildcat blood out there now. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure, but he might be one of the only Forest Wildcat stallions standing currently in the States. You know, he's very good looking, and he's getting really nice looking foals from the ones we've seen here in New York. So, you know, there's absolutely no reason to turn your nose up at him at all. He has potential to be a good stallion for New York. And again, small numbers, but he's supported by the owner, and she's going to race her own horses. And, you know, she's going to do everything she can to make sure he's successful and get the good ones out there. So, you know, the Cure the Blues bloodline is interesting because, as I mentioned, American Chance earlier, that Cure the Blues has sort of faded into obscurity as well. We don't see a lot of that. And those American Chance mares are dying off now. There's not a lot of that blood out there either, so it's nice to see that come back into play.
What kind of mares are a fit to him?
Well, with Stormcat, you know, you can always go anything APND, anything Seattle Slough, that line. That's always a good thing to do with any kind of Stormcat line. So that's one of the top ones that I would look for sure. You can also do, for instance, Candy Ride. We're saying that you know, Stormcat line with Candy Ride works as well. So there's a lot of different options. And there's a lot of Stormcat blood in the state, but there are a lot of mares that were bred on different crosses as well that you can, you know, you could use posse mares. You can use a lot of different daughters of stallions that have stood in the states and not worry about it so much. But he should be a good cross with a lot of different lines.
Interesting. And I want to also, I mean, certainly Micromanage is well on his way. I want to circle into Leah Frick and Disco, who we did, you know, Sid Fernando just gave us a nice riff on both. We've just kind of launched into it when I mentioned that you guys were going to be visiting. We're talking to Aaron Robinson, who's the stallion manager at Leray Visages Rock Ridge Stud, just north of Hudson. And I gave Hudson a big push earlier in the show.
I don't know if Hudson needs a big push. It's already a very established New York City connection out there.
It's amazing. I mean, I explained how I sort of wandered into Hudson years ago after I moved here. I've been here 20 years in Greenwich in Washington County, but I stopped at Hudson and I wandered into that firefighters thing, the review day, and the whole town was all celebrating. And we've been back many, many times. My brother ended up buying a house close by, and so Tina and I have gone down there countless times, and there's that nice orchard. You're right by that apple orchard, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so
there's so many orchards around, but yeah, Hudson is not what it used to be. It's very nice now.
Talk about Leah Frick, because it feels like Sid talked to guys about how Leah Frick could very easily catch a wave and end up, you know, being a horse that Kentucky, you know, wants to bring in.
Very much so. I mean, Leah Frick is, I wouldn't even say catch a wave. I think he'll be in front of the wave. For the fact that, I mean, the foals that we've had this year and the number of mares that he bred last year, you know, that combination right there, and then the people that's supporting the horse, it's almost as important as the horse itself, because if you don't have the support to take these babies on to the right sale, to the right racetracks, and to the right training programs, they have no shot. And that's where I think where Leah Frick is, you know, head and shoulders above, I would say, a big majority of the New York market, the stallion market, just because all of that plays a big effect on how each stallion is managed, how do they succeed as a stallion in a market. And, you know, he's obviously by the right sire, which that commercial value, right? I mean, Candy Ride right now is as hot as anything out there. And the physical on the babies, I mean, we will see here this year when we have some babies being sold, people will be pleasantly surprised. And we'll probably have, obviously, Barbara come and take a look at some pictures, and we'll get them out again as soon as we have some more. And Aaron will make the rounds to go and look at all the farms and then assess where we are and help the people breed in the right direction. But, you know, between the freshman sires and I have to mention, like, Disco Partner, I mean, that horse's race record and the foals that we've seen as well, you know, didn't breed as many as Leah Frick, but once again, the connections that foal and take these babies on, Generazio's got a big following of babies that they will take on, and they are major players in New York. So I think from that perspective, you know, I don't see where a horse like, you know, the Leah Frick or Disco will falter going forward.
Well,
I just have to mention the Slumber. Although he's not commercial, he's a horse that every person that's come out and saw him was pleasantly surprised, because he's a big, good-looking stallion. Turf, obviously, but that market and races for New York is definitely picking up as well going forward.
And Slumber has an opportunity as well. I just want to interject here that, you know, he could be commercial. We just actually haven't seen any go through the sales. He's had such small crops, and they were all homebred, so he raced them. So we haven't actually seen anybody have an opportunity to look at one of the sales. So he could end up being very commercial. He, as Lori said, he's a good-looking horse, and if he gets the type that he is on the ground, then he's going to be good on all fronts.
Well, and it certainly should be mentioned that, you know, this is a rare opportunity for the marketplace to get into, you know, into Judmont breeding, right? I mean, how rare an opportunity is that?
Absolutely. And that sire line is so successful. And again, with turf racing expanding every day in New York and really all over the country, you know, it's it's important not to ignore introducing that type of European bloodline to the states. And again, something that a lot of different mares of different sire lines that we see in New York and in different markets nearby us, this would be a perfect outcross for a lot of them. You know, we won't have a lot of problems with inbreeding or anything because of the sire line that he comes from. You know, and such a big family, great big, you know, stallion family, and certainly a sire making family. And look, how many times do you get to breed to a horse for that low of a fee who has a graded stakes winner in their first crop? You just don't see it, you know, and it's a great opportunity for a lot of people.
Well, and,
yeah, many
and,
times you have horses that breed a lot more that don't even get a stakes winner.
Exactly.
Crop.
Well, and I can't think top of my head in terms of New York. You know, here, you know, here's a for those that don't remember Slumber, and you know, don't have the page at hand. And speaking of the page at hand, RockRidgeStud.com for, you know, for all the information. But you know, this is a son of Cacique, son of Dane Hill. Cacique herself came out of Hasili. This is, you know, this is absolutely as purple a Judmont product as you're going to find. And for people that go look at Slumber's page, for instance, it's going to say that the breeder was Milsec. Well, that was, you know, that was a nom de, you know, a nom de course, as it were, for the breeding operation for Judmont domestically. And I don't know if they used it in Europe as well. But I remember asking years ago, before I really understood some of this, I remember asking Garrett O'Rourke. I said, "What's Milsec?" And he explained its background. So when you see this, I mean, this is the late Abdullah and all of his, you know, years and years of brilliance and expertise.
Huge female family. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Just as good
absolutely.
As it gets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. And on the female side too, Sound Asleep, the dam, by Woodman, out of a Seattle Slough mare, out of Northern Dancer mare. And then I see the fourth dam was Alluvial, the Buck Passer, the Slough of Gold's dam. So there's a lot, you know, it's listed, Slumber's listed as a private fee. Explain what that, how that works.
Well, again, when we spoke to the owner and he brought him to us this year, you know, we were toying with what do we do with his fee? And again, this is a little bit unprecedented territory to have a stallion with a graded stakes winner and his first crop of two-year-olds who you're going to move to a regional market and try to determine what are people going to be willing to pay for him. We toyed with it long and hard, and you know, the private fee is 2,500 stands and nurses, and the thinking along those lines was, you know, New York in every market, really not just New York, but New Yorkers pay a lot of attention to what's coming, and you know, they'll be able to look up on the Jockey Club records that he bred really small numbers of mares, and he actually didn't breed any mares last year. So, you know, they know that, you know, Fluffy Sox is out there still running, which is great. And, you know, you can hope that with even the small numbers that he has coming, that there's going to be another Fluffy Sox coming, which would be great if there is. But, you know, as far as what they can count on, what they can bank on coming, if they plan on selling these foals, it's kind of tough. So, you know, there's not a lot to hang your hat on, so to speak. So it's a difficult decision to price a stallion who, again, with such a huge pedigree, such a great race record, and already proven, to stand him for such a fee. But we really wanted to give him a shot, and we really wanted to get him as many mares as we can in the state to boost his numbers for the future and to help the owner get some stallion awards. So, we, you know, we're just going to do everything we can to get mares under him and give him a real chance. So that was the thinking.
We're talking about Slumber, and because of the unfamiliarity and the frankly the unavailability of access to this kind of a sire line, what kind of mares are going to fit him?
Again, because he's, you know, with him being a Dane Hill sire, there's such a wide swath of what you can breed to him. And again, my recommendation to the people I speak to you know, of course I do Nick's and I do look at pedigree and see what's worked in the past. But the thing is, with him coming from a European sire, sometimes those sire lines from the States haven't really been tried with those European sire lines. So the nicking may not look really good on paper. More important to me when I talk to someone would be, again, what does the mare look like? Does she physically match him? What has she produced? What is she actually throwing out there? And is she a turf horse, and is she throwing turf horses? That's important. It's really important to breed like to like. So, you know, if she's a dirt mare or she's throwing dirt horses, I'm not going to recommend Slumber. I'm going to recommend somebody that's going to get a turf horse. So.
Hmm. And what their end game is, if they're racing or are they selling. That's all exactly. Those in what we're doing there. It's a big determining which fire line we go with.
Well, it feels like, you know, the proverbial diamond in the rough, and that portion of this discussion, talking about Rock Ridge's offerings as the stallion season, the breeding season is underway. I got to let you riff to Larray and Aaron on Disco Partner a little bit from your vantage point. Because people know from listening to the show for any length of time, I was a mammoth Disco Rico fan. Joe DiRico was nice enough to give me access to Disco Rico. We bred an absolutely glorious colt, and he ended up contracting rhodococcus, and we lost him. And it was just, when I tell you heartbreaking, I don't think I've ever felt anguish like that in my life. Then we tried to bring the mare back to him, and it was when his hoof was really bothering him, and we were supposed to get a cover on a Monday, and then the Friday before was when he was taken out of service. So we never got a chance to breed back and try again. But Disco Partner, if he's half of the successful as Disco Rico, who just seemed, and credit to the late Frank Generazio for, you know, what he saw in Disco Rico, because what he has been able to extract and create, it was just unbelievable.
He had a lot of Disco Ricos, and Disco Partner certainly was one of the most, if not the most talented. The things that I like about Disco Partner the most are, one, that he's not only a world record setter, he's a world record holder, and I doubt that record's going to be broken anytime soon. Super fast, 6 furlongs on the turf. And he, you know, ran the same race 3 times and won it twice, and graded 6. And, you know, he's by a sire who Disco Rico is known to all of us in the New York market and endeared, a son of City Dancer, who, if you remember City Dancer, stood in Maryland, was extremely infertile. So there's not a lot of that City Dancer blood out there in mares or stallions, certainly not stallions. And so to have that bloodline reintroduced again to another generation is very exciting for me personally. So he was certainly a talented racehorse and a very good looking horse.
I want to say it's very interesting that, you know, the same thing, like Disco Rico, it's the same market where you're like, that horse would not be a commercial horse, but you put the babies in the right hands, it becomes a different animal. I mean, look at what they've done with the Disco Rico. I mean, where Disco Partner came from, like I said, I mean, people have said, okay, you couldn't breed that, but look what we have. We have world record and record holder with the right people and the right connections. Breeding these stallions and are involved in them, that's what ultimately sets everybody apart.
What kind of mares have, and I suppose I haven't seen any pictures yet, but how many partner babies are on the ground so far?
I think there's a handful.
I had one last night.
Oh, okay.
Did you say that again?
I was just going to say, I think there's a handful so far, maybe 4 or 5.
I have one that Barbara Livingston put up, I think, in the middle of January. And I think since then I've had 2 or 3. We still have a lot more to go for Generosity to get all of those babies out. But there'll be a decent number out that we can see what they look like. They've got some decent leg under them. The one last night is a beautiful out of a maiden mare. Quite happy with what they've had come out last night. So, and Disco is not a very big horse, but
like he could run. And if he throws that stamina, I would say you want to breed a decent-sized mare to him. He, on the other hand, is very fertile. And when we started him last year, he was exceptionally fertile. And I think we all see once the babies, you know, you kind of need a crop under yourself to see what these babies look like. But so far, you know, they're very athletic. Disco himself is very balanced horse. You know, but we're pursuing when he was still running, me and Aaron went up to Christophe Clement's barn and we went and looked at him several times. And every time we looked at him, it was, you know, he was very racy. And, you know, for an older horse, like Christophe said, we retired this horse to stud with no injuries. With zero. So, I mean, he came off from the racetrack and we had him and he's never looked back, you know.
He probably could have kept going.
That kind of a level of a horse.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no doubt, a big opportunity. Get those pictures up, Larray. We want fuzzy foals. This is
so many hours in one day.
We need pictures.
The next New York breeder will have a picture of Disco's first foal in the ad. So that's coming. So that's
excellent.
I will get some pictures on there. Don't worry,
Larray. Larray Visagie has been with us from Rock Ridge and Aaron Robinson, who is the stallion manager, Kentucky-based. We should also slip in, Larray, before we go, all the services at Rock Ridge, because you board mares, you handle foaling, you handle sales prep. A quick rundown of everything available to breeders and owners at Rock Ridge.
You know, pretty much we are very much involved in everything. When I mean everything, it's from breeding all the way to racing. You know, we have several clients at races that never even goes to the racetrack, so we handle their layups. We do foaling breeding. Aaron, which actually comes up, we look at all the babies. We help determining which horses go to which sales. You know, it's very good to have a team where people come up and look, and it's based at, that's in the market. In Kentucky, in New York, that understands where these the market trends are, and that's something that people have to follow. Because as much as we want to be commercial, and it's very expensive, and you have to kind of follow the market trends with the horses. Unless you want to race them, it's a little different. But you know, with us, you know, we do everything, and we basically help everybody to do it. We have people that's very novice in the business, and we help, you know, to where even like Rapoli Generazio, and we handle all their horse-related stuff for the client. They basically don't do any paperwork on any of the horses. We handle everything. And I think a lot of people appreciate that because they don't always know, and they don't have the time. We as a stud farm and as a commercial breeding farm need to be able to accommodate everybody because it's, and I think more and more, I think we're going to have to go digital because that's the way the world is going and we have to adapt and move and shake with the rest of us, you know? So I think that's the key that we can say with us. We try and accommodate and move with the times and with the trends that we have, not just in New York, but I would basically say in the service industry.
Larray Visagie and Rock Ridge Stud, rockridgestud.com. Aaron Robinson handles the stallion conversation and either eager to take your call to help you with your direction and your decisions. And obviously, you know, listening to them for this 40 minutes, you can tell you'll be in tremendous hands. And when it comes to, you know, all the different elements that are involved, that can include making arrangements for, you know, once the baby comes, you know, down the road, all handling, you know, every portion. If you want to go get certified in other regions, Virginia and Delaware, etc., all the paperwork for, you know, being appropriately New York bred and qualifying for, you know, the program at Finger Lakes and the Stallion Series, and they handle all of this, and you couldn't make a better choice. Larray, thank you so much. I hope I'm going to be around so that Tina and I can come see Voltarine's baby, which shouldn't be far off, right? How far are we?
No, we're right. We're pretty close. But, you know, I wish I could tell you when, but we're pretty close. Let's leave it at that.
I may travel mid-month, and at which point I probably will miss it. But it's one of the
most... Well, come on anytime. You never know. You might. You know, a lot of times I've had it where people show up and it was a lucky day. So it's
there you go. Well, if I see a thunderstorm forecast, that's the time to come. Aaron, great to meet you as well. And let us know if there's anything we can communicate as the breeding season in New York and everywhere is underway. RockRidgeStud.com. Guys, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
There you go. Aaron Robinson, who handles the stallion management and talking and making the arrangements, and Larray, who will help you in any which way. I've called him countless times as we've made these decisions, retiring Carlisle Bell and getting her ready and preparing to be covered. And that, you know, just every part of this has been a delight at Rock Ridge. Let's take a break. Last of the morning, got about 45 minutes. I've got to get a visit in with Chris Griffin. We'll look at Saturday, get the review of the preview, Texas preview, and we'll look at some races tonight. And Eric Hallstrom, we owe Eric a call as well. I want him to talk about the approval yesterday from the Indiana Gaming Commission and the way the, you know, a couple of different things that they changed, including some takeout improvements. They're working tirelessly at Indiana to improve the takeout structure. Back in a couple of minutes with Chris Griffin from Sam Houston. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM.